This is the Power Podcast. My name is Sarah of Underground Crowds. We hit Bible topics,
smash book studies,
punch out some songs here and there,
and light up
His Word to strengthen our souls. Thanks for listening. Okay, we're continuing today. Kind of piggybacking on the last one. With the title, maybe you can tell, Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So. Last week we visited a couple characters in Scripture that are not fictional. So people in Scripture that met Jesus. But it's interesting that after they met Jesus, they immediately started talking about Him. This is where some of us are stuck. In between meeting Jesus and then carrying out the Great Commission, as it were. Matthew 28, let's go there. And it, we talked about walking in spirit and truth, and then one of the requirements is that we not be fearful. So here's the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That is our end point. We start with meeting Jesus. We meet Him when we humble ourselves and we realize that what He did on the cross was on our behalf. And that our sin was carried on His shoulders. And we can trust Him to cleanse us of our sin and reveal us as righteous to His Father because of the work that He did, dying and then raising again the third day, thereby defeating death. So we start there. And we know the end game is to go out and tell and make disciples. But a lot of us are stuck in the middle. And maybe we would say, maybe you're a college student, maybe a high school student, maybe, you know, whatever, maybe your mom or whatever. We would say it's scary to tell people about the Lord. Or it's inconvenient to tell people about the Lord. It just makes the relationship weird. No judgment here. Let's think of all the reasons why we get in this circle. Myself too. We become stagnant in this no man's zone. Or this, is that what it's called? And we want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus and make disciples. We know that is a commission for all of us. But we find ourselves keep revisiting this side of things. Well, do I even know Jesus? Do I, you know? And I want to say right out the gate that whenever God, We're going to look at two characters in the Bible. We're going to look at Joshua and we're going to look at Jeremiah. Just goes J is what we're going with. And He tells both of these people similarly to be courageous. But there's a key element in this whole scenario that we often overlook. I know I'm not supposed to be afraid. I know I'm not supposed to be afraid. I'm afraid. I know I'm not supposed to be afraid. I'm afraid. The first thing we need to lay down here, and it's the same with Joshua, it's the same with Jeremiah, is that what He called them to do was not their idea. Why do I say that? Why is this important? Let's pray and then let's get started. Lord, I pray that you guide us through. This is a great, great thing to grab onto about how your sustaining power and your spirit filling, and your commission is the main issue. It's not our fear. We are always operating from the standpoint of your great love. We are always operating from the standpoint of victory. We are always operating from your power and your strength. I pray that you help us set our sights on those things, that the real issue is not what's on the outside, it's what's going on the inside. So I pray that you guide us through that today. Amen. So as I said in the prayer, maybe I do preaching prayers, I don't know. But as I prayed in the prayer, I like to agree with God in the prayer. Our problem, friend, is not that friend that we're trying to witness to at college. That's too scary. Our problem is not the coworker at work. So you can be relieved from that. Our problem is not our family that is maybe hostile to the gospel. Our problem is not, in the real sense, and I think this might embolden you, in the sense that though we might perceive it, them, and telling them about the Lord, that it's scary. What I mean is, when you've got this, what I'm about to show you, figured out, that becomes way more a part of what's in God's hands and the doors He opens for you than us telling God, this is what I'm going to do for your great commission. Now, oh man, get the red, you know, the guys that run bulls, you know, there's a bull running in Spain, and what are they called? I'm just thinking of the book Ferdinand. Anyways, so they've got to hold that little towel and just hold on for dear life and hope that the bull runs through the blanket, the red blanket or the red cape. And I think we're going about this all wrong. At least I did for the majority of my life. It was on me to save my friend. It was so scary. That is not on you. Let's start with Joshua. Here's the key. Here's the ticket. We're chapter 1, verse 6. We're going to go right to the beginning of both these books, Jeremiah and Joshua. God has an idea. Just like, whoop, on my tea almost bit the dust. God has an idea. Great commission. He has a game plan for us. This isn't optional. This isn't put it on the side, put it in the back burner, think about it later. This is what you're on the earth to do. It's like a super exciting, here we go. Here we go. This is what I want. So imagine a different version of the Great Commission given to Joshua, which is what it was. Right? What was the testimony of Israel? They were a light to the one true God. Right? That was their whole function. God put them in the center of commerce and trade. To do what? To bring glory to God. And so what we see, Moses dies, and Joshua's got this whole, I can't even imagine, this whole group of wayward, forgetful, amnesia tribe. God does something amazing, and then 2 minutes later, they're complaining. Works of art here. Because I'm the same. And so he's got this, these people that he's responsible for. And God says in verse 6, chapter 1, be strong. Nope. Verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I think, is this my idea? You know, when I go to Walmart, I'm not thinking about anything but I'm going to get some milk. I don't go to Walmart. Go to the grocery store. I'm going to get, you know, my milk, my cheese, my eggs, my butter, and put it in my basket and walk out the door. So maybe Josh was thinking, I'm going to take these people somehow, and he's maybe figuring out a game plan. Moses died. Okay. This land is inhabited. Ugh, what have we gotten ourselves into? You know, and maybe you're looking at this whole COVID situation like, how are we going to navigate this year? How is school going to go? How's the my kids' high school future going to go? I mean, some kids are just getting into their 12th grade year. This is supposed to be an exciting time and not wrapped up in saran wrap or whatever. They're supposed to be able to go enjoy things. This is how we envisioned our last year of high school. So we've got our shopping cart. This is what our plan is. Milk, butter, and pay for it. Imagine God entering into that whole scene with an idea. Usually, it's about me, myself, and I, my kids, my family, walk out to the grocery store. Sarah, what about, I have a plan. Instead of this, I want you to get this. And so what he's telling Josh was that instead of what you're thinking, I want this. And he tells him, and I want you to think beyond your milk, butter, eggs, flour. Joshua, think beyond the obstacles that you are imagining. Think beyond, high schooler, the obstacles that you feel are in the way of you having a good time. Think beyond whatever is hindering you. But why I bring up, you know, we're so used to a pattern. We wake up, we do the thing. We fall asleep. We wake up, we do the thing. We fall asleep. We wake up, we do the thing. We fall asleep. And we're like, yes, I had the Great Commission. Oh, man. Sunday. We wake up, we do the thing. We fall asleep. We wake up, we do the thing, we fall asleep. Right? But God is always ready with an idea. This wasn't Joshua's idea. No man would be able to stand before you all the days of your life. This was not Joshua's idea. Joshua's like, I'm gonna die. Most likely. This is a big crowd that's already living in the land of Canaan. I'm a die. This is how it rolls. When a few million show up to a land that's already inhabited, it's how things go. You see where I'm going with this? They're going to laugh at me when I try to tell them, this is how things go. See how we get stuck? Get up, go through the routine of how everybody thinks, feels, and adjusts when Christian's around, go to sleep. This is how things go. What if God showed up into your scene and said, no man, no woman is going to be able to stand against you? Because he is. Because he is telling you that. You see what I mean? When we stop trying to align ourselves, oh, maybe I gotta do a song and dance, maybe I gotta, you know, write, you know, I think about, in my context, I think about different songs, and sometimes I get really down on myself because my songs start sounding the same. And I, you know, and now I've got another hurdle. I'm going to continue to speak on forcing people to get vaccinated or whatever, but YouTube, apparently, I got to double check that. That might have been clickbait or bad news or whatever, but I got to double check that. And there's these hurdles going down, and I can get all wrapped up in what song should I post? What kind of beat should it have? Should it be more like what I hear on the radio? Should I not care about that at all? And I'm like, which hoops do I want? You know, and the hoops, you know, about that you have to jump through, they never end. When it's not this hoop, it's the other hoop. You see, we're playing this game over here like the Great Commission is our idea. When we should be over here, Joshua, just sitting down and going, oh, no one can stand against the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just as I have been with Moses, get all your ideas of how this is going to all go down the tubes out of your head. Do you find yourself comparing yourself to other people? And how, I mean, I get jealous. You know, some people can just, my husband's mom can just move to the gospel, like from here, have some tea, and then to Jesus in the next sentence. And she's just whoop smooth. And he said he used to get embarrassed because she'd go straight from, hey, how are you, to, are you going to be saved this afternoon? Just like that. Like one thing and then the other. And people that have that kind of boldness, I'm telling you, it is not because they've learned to jump hoops. It's they learn to sit and listen. And believe the God who is sending them. It's not the, how can I, you know, maybe a different way, maybe a different rhythm, maybe a different, you know, all I have is my guitar. This is, you know, this is going to be the same old, you know, how. It's over here. This is your idea. This is my idea. I'm not telling you what I'm going to do. You've already said what I'm going to do. Make disciples. This is your idea. And if it's your idea, listen to what he says. I will be with you. I will be with you. I don't know if you need to hear that today. I need to hear that today. I will be with you when you open your mouth and try. The opportunity doesn't come today. Maybe it comes tomorrow. I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. So the first thing is that we have to get this Great Commission idea that out of our hands and back into whose idea it is to go. Because it's that same one who will never leave us or forsake us. Peace out. Again, thanks for listening. Catch the next part of this series, usually Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. You can also find Underground Crowds on Twitter, Patreon, Bandcamp, or undergroundcrowds.com.